Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The nurse was confused. Over the years, she had worked for several doctors, and they were all a little bit different. But this guy, he took different to a whole new level. At first, she could not put her finger on it. A patient would come in. She would weigh the patient, take the blood pressure, ask if the patient was depressed. You know the drill. But the doctor never seemed to spend much time with the patients. After a few weeks, still trying to get a handle on it, she ran it by the receptionist. The doctor sees people. It doesn't seem like any of them are very, very sick. None of them seem to be sick. The receptionist said, yes, the patients are all well. None of the patients are sick. He won't let me schedule appointments for sick people. The person before me, she scheduled a person who was sick and she got fired. But he's a doctor. Why would he not? He doesn't like being around sick people. He says that sick people sort of creep him out. Says sick people, it's all about them. It's all about their aches and their pains. And they have high expectations. They want him to make them well, or at least better, and he's worried about his family. What if he gets sick from one of his patients, those sick patients, and he takes it home to his family? And he has a point, doesn't he? And what would happen if he did start seeing sick people and he couldn't make them better? There's a lawsuit waiting to happen. He could even lose his license, and we would be out of a job if he started seeing sick people. The way I look at it, an expert on health and healing has no business at all hanging around with sick people. You know what I mean? Today is St. Barnabas' feast day. It's also the text appointed to be read about St. Matthew. So we sang four verses of the opening hymn this morning, and that's why. What do you suppose Matthew, you know, he was a tax collector. What do you suppose Matthew thought when he saw Jesus headed his way? When he saw Jesus then standing right in front of him, what do you suppose Matthew was feeling? And it looks like Jesus is about to say something to him. Go ahead, say it like everybody else says it, and then tell me what I am and what I can do with it. Matthew probably was not expecting Jesus to actually say what Jesus actually said to him. You know all about those tax collectors, right? You learned about it in church. Those first century Palestinian tax collectors, they pop up from time to time in the New Testament, and they are often paired with sinners and prostitutes. Nine times in the New Testament, tax collectors are paired. Twice, they're paired with sinners, the tax collectors and sinners. And seven times, it's the tax collectors and prostitutes. And you know, you learned it in church, that tax collectors in first century Palestine were not very well liked, and that there was a pretty good reason for it. I grew up with the word publican. It's in the King James Version. And I always wondered why there weren't any Democrats in the Bible. And if you jump across the pond and you find yourself in need of nourishment, you might want to drop into a pub for fish and chips and maybe a pint. Pub is short for a public house, and the person who runs that place is known as the publican. Not so much in 17th century England. That's not what the word publican meant in 1611. At that time, the word publican meant literally a farmer of taxes. That's a new term I learned this week, a tax farmer. And maybe Matthew was. Maybe Matthew was a tax farmer. He went out and harvested taxes. If that was the case, then Matthew would have been assigned a spot and an amount of money to be gotten from that spot. And when he had collected all that money, anything over that from that spot, he got to keep. It was a system that was rife for abuse. I like my new bridge. It's a nice bridge. Four lanes. Remember, the left lane's mine. You have to share the other three lanes among yourselves. It's really easy to get back and forth across the river. When I was a kid, that trip across the river was more complicated. My mother would pick the hottest day in August, and we would take our annual shopping trip for school clothes. Wasted day. All day affair. Down to McCabe's in Rock Island. It's now the Stern Center. We were at a writing reception there last night. And my mother would go in and ask the clerk to find some nice school clothes for my son. And do you have anything that's itchy? He wants itchy. And if you can make sure it has long sleeves, that will be swell. And the second stop then was always at Peterson's, which is now River Music Experience. And how do you get across the river? Well, the Moline Bridge was out of the question because it was out of the way and my mother was afraid of it. And as far as I could see, for good reason. The Government Bridge, that's a sturdy bridge built like a tank. But it could open or is it closed in a heartbeat, but it was free. The Centennial Bridge was almost as sturdy, but you had to pay a toll, a dime to cross. And maybe Matthew was that toll taker, or like the ones that used to man the booths on I-88. Now the I-Pass does the heavy lifting. Whether Matthew was a toll taker or a tax farmer, when he writes about it in his gospel, Matthew describes Jesus approaching him like he maybe was sitting in a toll booth. That's not a new thing, by the way. It's a very old thing, charging people to use a road or a river. Whether tax collector or tax farmer, it all went to the Romans. It all went to the Romans. You hear people talking in this country about taxes being fair, or at least that they should be fair. Well, define fair. But that idea that taxes should be fair or equitable is a new thing. It's not an old thing. Another thing is that you want to win your wars because if you lose your wars, well, the Romans were in control of places like Palestine. And if you want to raise revenue, you don't raise taxes on yourselves. They taxed people whose countries they were occupying. And as Americans from colonial times, we know that drill. So people like Matthew, however he collected his taxes, the money went to the Romans. Any disdain that I have for the IRS is nothing personal. And it helps that I never actually come into physical contact with the IRS. They tell me how much of the money I've earned I have to give to them. And I put a check in the mail. And even if you have to talk to them on the phone, I know, good joke. With people like Matthew, it was up close and personal. Benjamin Franklin's take on taxes, you may have heard this. Right after the Constitution was passed, our new Constitution is now established and has an appearance that promises permanency. But in the world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes. And of course, Jesus' take on taxes is give unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's, and so I do. Paul's take on taxes from Romans 13, obey the government, pay taxes you owe, so I do. Did a semester at Black Hawk, I actually passed accounting 101. And I remember that it's okay to avoid taxes. If you evade taxes, you might end up in jail. If you avoid taxes, that is meet and right. And so I do that too. And because he was one of them, a Hebrew, because he had chosen a vocation where one could easily get rich off the taxpayers, because he was seen as a collaborator with the occupying army, people probably said a lot of things to Matthew. Jesus spots Matthew. He approaches Matthew and he says to Matthew, "Follow me. Follow me." Jesus wants the likes of Matthew to follow him. You know what? Do Peter, James, John, Andrew, and Sig Hansen have in common? They all work hard and they own boats and probably make pretty good money. Matthew did not own a boat or a ship, but Matthew made pretty good money. And that's okay. But like the owners of the fishing boats, it's like your own ATM. They left their lucrative vocations, except for Sig Hansen, for another. Matthew, who was wealthy, rose and followed him. And we do not detect any hesitation on the part of Matthew. And as for those fishermen, a couple of them, it says that when he called them, told them to follow him, they immediately dropped their nets and followed him. Except for that one guy who said he had buried his father and the like, and Jesus told him, "Never mind, don't bother." And then Matthew, who was there, tells us that Jesus came over to the house. Probably Matthew had a nice house. He was a tax collector. And he says, we would say, "It just so happened." That's what Matthew says. "It just so happened," which Matthew was there, means that it was very deliberate. "It just so happened," as they reclined, gathering around the dinner table is a new thing, and going away. As they reclined, they were laying down. Oh, it looks like some of Matthew's friends, many tax collectors and sinners. It seems that Matthew got right at it in his work, his new vocation of apostle. Many people come into that house, and a lot of his kind of people. Luke tells us they were eating, and this is how people so happened to come to church. The crowd that Matthew hung out with, it's that crowd that he seems to have invited his own kind to his house to meet Jesus, and there were many. Guy on the radio says that if you need to borrow money, three places to go to borrow money, friends, family, and we welcome fools here too. Christians invite other Christians to church. They invite friends, family, and yes, we welcome fools here as well. So why did the Pharisees talk to the disciples of Jesus and not to Jesus? They say, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" How did they know what was going on inside of Matthew's house? Were they peeking in the window? Surely, they did not just walk into another man's house, crash his party. Maybe some of the disciples went outside and lit up, but there's no mention of anybody bumming a smoke here. Oh, that's why they didn't want to talk to Jesus. Jesus says things. And sometimes the things Jesus says makes them uncomfortable. They don't feel safe around Jesus. Pastor friend of mine, this is on Vicarage in Kansas, needed to talk to the DC about something. And he asked her for a meeting. The DC agreed to a meeting, but you can't bring your Bible. Jesus often seems to say things that make the Pharisees, he seems to be a trigger for them. Inside the house, outside the house, through the window, Jesus hears the question, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? And he probably wants to say, I'm standing right here. But what he does say is, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. And what would that look like? A doctor who only wanted to see well patients, who got the creeps around sick people. Bollinger calls this a paramaya, or a proverb like a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, which is in the Bible. Like God helps those who help themselves, which is not in the Bible. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. That's the thing about a proverb. Nobody ever argues with a proverb because it's self-evidently true. When they ask why Jesus socializes with those kind of people, and he responds with that proverb, they have no more to say. And that's why they didn't want to talk to Jesus. They needed to be in their safe space. I used to be able to say that I've seen every hour of footage that has ever been aired of Gordon Ramsay, both in this country and across the pond, but I can't say that anymore. Not even Tableau can keep up with that guy. He's all over the place. He's a good teacher, and I've actually learned a lot about cooking from him. And on his shows, the ones that involve competitive cooking, he would often use the phrase, off you go, off you go. It's a British idiom telling them to leave without commanding them to leave. Right after he's instructed them, off you go, and they go. And that's the gist of what Jesus says to the Pharisees. He has just instructed them using a proverb. They have been left speechless because who can argue with the idea that doctors are going to and should, by definition, be around sick people? Off you go. And you might want to take a look at Hosea. If you really want to know why their teacher hangs around with those kind of people, Hosea, with a special focus on chapter 6, verse 6, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And maybe ponder also this, I came to call not the righteous, but sinners. He did not come for you who call yourselves righteous, but in fact came for those kinds of people, the ones you call sinners. So is the takeaway here that even the kind of person Matthew was, God can work with that? Yes, that's true. Or is the takeaway here that Matthew and the rest left behind a lot to follow Jesus? Yes. And people want to know, where do I fit into this story? Well, you are not an apostle, and you are not a Pharisee. The Pharisees don't know why Jesus dines with those kind of people. We do know why Jesus dines with those kinds of people. In fact, we know that we are those kind of people. By our thoughts, words, and deeds, placing ourselves into that category of sinners, spiritually sick people, but we do not give Jesus the creeps. We do not give him the creeps. In fact, he loves us. He loves us so much that he came into the world and lived a perfect life and died a sacrificial death for your sins because he loves you. He was considered by the Father as one of those kind of people, as being a sinner, in order to save our kind of people, who are the sinners. So he comes and dies on the cross and takes away our sins. And now today he invites us to his house to dine with him on this medicine of immortality. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.